This is the hour on Fridays where Pat learns things about music from either Luke, our producer, or from our guest. Today it's Cameron Stevenson, editor of the Copper Courier in Arizona. Cam, last segment we were hearing, what's the band called? Palace?
Palace, yeah.
Okay. And this is this also Palace? All right.
Yeah, yeah. They're a UK based band. They actually did a US tour over the summer. We went. My partner and I went to go see them. It was pretty fun.
In the last hour, we discussed how I'm still figuring out the musical library of Bread from the early 70s.
That could take a lifetime.
I've got some learning to do, but I'm willing to do it. So Cam is my counterpart at the Copper Courier in Arizona. He does there what I do for Up North News here in Wisconsin. It is largely following, you know, news and policy and what our leaders are doing and not doing, but there's also a fair amount of, you know, lifestyle and fun content in there too. So I hope I remember to make time for it to talk about the lighter side of life in Arizona, where it's only 200 degrees every day. So we'll get into that. We talked in the last segment about Kyrsten Sinema and what's going to happen with the Inflation Reduction Act in Congress coming up this weekend. But the big story, I guess, out of Arizona is how well the Trump-supporting candidates did in their many races, which I believe governor, U.S. Senate. But I want to start with the Speaker of the House. Rusty Bowers was the name, right? And who testified before the January 6th committee. Same thing you would think any other Wisconsin Republican would say was, you know, I don't want to win by cheating. How'd this week go for him, Cam?
You know, not great. It wasn't an ideal week for Republicans who support not cheating in Arizona. Rusty Bowers, as most people saw, he spoke before January 6th committee. He is, as you know, dyed and true conservative as they come. He's been in the Arizona legislature more on than off since the 90s. And he lost to a Trump-endorsed opponent. Now, the opponent it was also an incumbent. Due to redistricting, they were pitted against each other. So the district makeup was a little bit different than what he ran in the past. But he ran on, his integrity and his record. And his opponent ran on, fealty to Donald Trump and the MAGA Republican movement. And Bowers lost by a lot.
We typically see somebody like Bowers would retire. We've had a record number of retirements. Congress has seen that as well, as Republicans would, you know, many of them would just as soon, you know, not run for re-election and, you know, just turn the party over. You know, here's your roll of tinfoil, go make a nice hat and have a nice life. But some like Bowers did stay on the ballot. Kathy Bernier is the Wisconsin Republican who succeeded or has the seat that I once represented in the Wisconsin State Senate. She chaired the Senate Elections Committee here. And was, again, pretty much the only voice saying this is wrong. Trump lost. The elections were fair because she was the county clerk here in Chippewa County once upon a time. But meanwhile, the Assembly Elections Committee chair, went completely, MAGA on this to the point where she has now endorsed the primary opponent of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who is, again, as conservative as they come. But he had the audacity to say he can't decertify the election and that Trump won it. Cam, we see this in politicians, but I think it's more troubling that we're seeing it in the voters, that they're willing to go along with this.
Yeah, it is. It's alarming and a little frightening. Now, whether or not that will translate into statewide races is another thing. But there are enough, safely Republican districts in Arizona's legislature that these far right voters have brought in enough MAGA Republicans in their primary to make a sizable block in our state legislature. And these are, these are people, like you said, who don't accept the 2020 election results, are not committing to sending, to adhering to the will of voters in future elections. There's one of the people who won his primary. He's been deplatformed because he ran an actual troll farm and was spreading fake news and propaganda. Wow. And he was taken off social media sites and cruised into re-election.
Unbelievable. And so let's go to the big races then. And then we'll talk more about the general election campaign. But you had a governor's race and a Senate.
Yes, we had several statewide races. The most prominent, the one people are probably going to hear more about than they'd like, is our Senate race. Mark Kelly's running for re-election. He won special election 2020, is very popular here, more popular than our senior senator. Supports things such as minimum wage, a lot of different populist ideas. He's running against Blake Masters. And if your audience is familiar with J.D. Vance, he's very similar in style, in funding, in ideology to J.D. Vance. He's a MAGA Republican who's backed by billionaire Peter Thiel, and has a lot of very extreme stances and policy platforms that are very unpopular here. So it was enough to win his primary, but things like privatizing Social Security, wanting to block election results, and amplifying things like the Great Replacement theory, aren't popular here as a whole. And so we're going to see how well that does.
So Kelly starts out probably as the favorite on this, but again, it's been quite a year. You won't know till the votes are counted.
Exactly. Exactly. The race, I think, is still considered a toss up. And so.
OK, so by considered a toss up, what I was going to ask about next is whether there's a risk of Democrats taking that race for granted and saying, oh, this guy is such a wackadoodle. We don't have to help Mark Kelly. We can go work in Wisconsin or elsewhere. You're saying that that Democrats down there are taking the threat to Kelly seriously.
Yes. Mark Kelly is, I believe, priority number one, from precincts to the statewide party and everyone in between.
So then that takes us to the governor's race, where all week I have been talking about how awful it is when TV news anchors go into politics. I mean, they can't be trusted as, these are the kind of people that, wear Hawaiian shirts to work. You just don't. And in Arizona, you've got that in Carrie Lake, who finally emerged from the primary. How close was that?
It was, I believe last I checked, it was within 20,000 votes. It was, she was squeaking by in the lead from election night. And usually here it takes several days for us to count all of our votes, just because we have a lot of early voters, a lot of people drop it off, and we do a lot to verify signatures and make sure that the voters are who they say they are, to keep our elections secure. So it wasn't until last night that her race was safely declared. She was up by 20,000. She beat a local real estate entrepreneur, businesswoman, and billionaire, or at least multimillionaire, who was backed by our Republican governor, Doug Ducey, who was backed by former Vice President Mike Pence. But again, it was not enough to thwart an endorsement by Donald Trump, which is what Carrie Lake had.
Yeah, I mean, that still does carry weight. We're going to find out if that's the case in Wisconsin here with our primary next Tuesday, where Trump has endorsed Tim Michaels, whereas former VP Mike Pence has endorsed former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clefish. So that will make now three states, including Georgia, where Trump and Pence have separated. Did both Trump and Pence make appearances ahead of the primary in Arizona?
They did, in typical spectator performer fashion. Trump and Pence actually came to Arizona to stump for their desired candidate on the same day, and had rallies, I think, around the same time. One in Phoenix, one up in Prescott Valley.
I would really like to hear more conversations in some households where you've got a Republican household and maybe one person is still on the Trump train and somebody else is saying, when are you going to get off this? I would imagine we'll have to look for stories like that in Wisconsin and you in Arizona as well, because I just find that fascinating what is happening, to Republican voters going one way or the other.
Yeah, it's going to be what I think is going to be interesting is in 2020 in Arizona, we saw a lot of what I guess I would call now as, Lake Robeson style voters, where they voted for Joe Biden, the top ticket, and Mark Kelly. But then in local races and in county and legislative, it went very red. And so, you know, people who didn't like the bombastic nature of Trump, but still approved of his, you know, his agenda. And so we're going to see, I'm interested to see how that shakes down in 2022.
And then once we get the results in November, I mean, how likely is it that there could be people in powerful positions that would have the power to monkey with or even negate election results in Arizona?
Yeah. I mean, the Republican nominee for Secretary of State, which certifies the elections along with the governor, was an insurrectionist, was at the Capitol on January 6th, is an election denier, you know, all of those things. That coupled with the likelihood that our state legislature is going to stay Republican, you know, things like the governor maintain, you know, the governor being won by Katie Hobbs, who's the Democratic nominee, and the Secretary of State being won by Adrian Fontes, the Democratic nominee, who was called last night. Those races become very important in the context of these are the positions that could determine who Arizona's electoral votes go into in 2024, regardless of the voters, unfortunately.
And yet, as I'm looking at one of the stories on your website here, there was a candidate for a county board seat telling followers to take the county's pens away from polling places and replace them with their own pens, a class two misdemeanor that could temporarily disable voting machines. What?
Yeah. So I won't bore you with Sharpiegate of 2020. There's been a long and rich history of Republicans crying a foul from, you know, from as small a thing as which pen to use at the ballot box. And we were getting these kind of funny instances of pens disappearing. And our reporting notes intern actually here, Camilla Pedroza, she looked at that and said, they're tampering with election equipment. I think that's a crime. And she looked it up and found the misdemeanor. And then shortly after, you know, we came out with, or shortly right before we published, the county attorney actually publicly put out a statement and said, hey, it's a crime to stop stealing pens. Someone who's, you know, running to be on our county board of supervisors shouldn't be promoting, committing crimes against the county.
Yeah, much like we had the guy up here, you know, who requested absentee ballots for the assembly speaker and basically, you know, is talking up breaking the law as if it somehow proves, you know, that voter fraud exists. But as I've now learned, I've learned that in bringing your own pen, the wet ink can accumulate inside the tabulator, which would then be temporarily unable to count any more ballots. That's why the pens used at the polls contain a fast drying ink. So we have learned more about election tampering and the science of ink than I think we thought we would on a Friday. But that's a
or
that's
ever
a
fun, wanted to.
Yeah, but I think it's a fine way to see why we have rules. We have rules for a reason, people. You know, it's not just arbitrary. Cam Stevenson from the Copper Courier, can you stick around for a bit longer?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Well, look, there's much more to say about Arizona, and we'll do that on the other side of this break. You're up.